to John, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. As I welcomed you this morning, I was thinking about how in the past year we have been looking for God, looking for Jesus. Well, in today's readings from the Psalm and from the Gospel text, we hear about this voice, both our voices crying out to God in the Psalm, and then also in the Gospel reading, it is the Good Shepherd who knows our voices, and we know the Shepherd's voice. The human voice is quite a marvel, if you think about it. We can hum, whisper, chant, rap, sing, and shout. The voice can convey words, but also can convey a lot of emotion. And our ears and our brains are wired in a way that we can decode all of this and make sense of it. And one of the first things that a baby hears in a mother's womb is the voice of his mother. And also, other people in the family who go up to the expanding belly and put your face right next to it and you speak to the child. Have any of you done that? The baby can hear these voices. So before they're even born, they know the human voice. I've talked before about growing up on a farm. We had sheep. They knew our names and we knew theirs. And they came when we called. Whether they were cattle or sheep or dogs, they know a voice, a human voice, and they come. And I was reading, even whales, deep down in the bottom of the ocean, can hear human voices. I sometimes wonder if the ocean is so quiet and serene, but apparently it's quite loud down there, and they can hear human voices and ships and all kinds of different things. So even in the oceans, they hear voices. Voices are a part of our popular culture. I think about voices such as James Earl Jones, who played Darth Vader. Do you remember that voice? But he also played Mufasa in The Lion King. Think of the voice of Maya Angelou when she read one of her famous poems. She had a very distinct voice. And then there's Al Pacino in The Godfather. Can you remember that voice too? And then Martin Luther King Jr. in his famous I Have a Dream speech. You have a memory of that in your ears, don't you? In your brain. More recently, if you watch any kind of TV, you'll hear the Geico Gecko, the Affleck Duck, and can you think of Mike Myers playing Shrek, that voice that he has? Very memorable. And then if you're old enough, you'll remember George Burns playing the voice of God. Do you remember that voice? And in another movie, Morgan Freeman plays God. Two very different voices, right? And then I always was thinking about Oprah. Oprah as Oprah on her show. When she would have the giving away, like her special favorite things show, where she would give everything away and she would yell, "A car for everyone!" These voices are memorable. They stick in our memories in a unique way. Have you ever voice recognized someone before you actually saw them? Well, I recognized my mother by a sneeze once in Target. She was several rows down, And I heard her sneeze, and I called out her name, and it was her. So my question today is, can we hear the voice of God? And what might that sound like? This question has been asked by countless people throughout the ages. Samuel heard the voice of God, but did not recognize it as God until he was instructed by Eli, after he heard that voice calling his name again and again. Gideon had a physical revelation of God, and he still doubted and asked for God to give him a sign, not once, not twice, but three times before he would believe. In the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, at the baptism of Jesus, we are told that a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." In today's gospel reading, we heard a familiar story of the Good Shepherd. The gospel writer says, "I know my own, and my own know me. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." So here's my next question. How will we recognize the voice of God, of the Good Shepherd, so that we and others can follow? How can we be good listeners? Well, I want to tell you a story about my friend from seminary. His name is Nick. Nick is a self-proclaimed atheist who was at the seminary studying theology and art. You may think this is an oddity to have an atheist studying at a seminary, but it is not. There were a few there who were seeking God just as Nick was. As someone who had grown up in a religious household, Nick told me that he was angry with God because so many people in his life, in his church family, and in his own family had spoken about these experiences of God that they had had, these mountaintop experiences where their faith had been confirmed in some way. Nick worked at the seminary as a janitor. And as Nick cleaned the floors and emptied the garbages, he and I would talk. And he had told me he had wanted to believe in God. He just didn't have any proof. He was angry that God had not spoken. He thought that somehow God had discarded him, that he was not loved. So when Nick had his first art showing at the seminary, I was really interested to see what he was painting, especially in light of all the conversations that we had had about his struggle in faith and this art that was emerging out of that struggle. So I went to the art opening. I didn't know what to expect, and here's what I saw. I saw the most astounding and shocking paintings of the entire biblical narrative. He had painted creation, the moment of creation. He had painted Jesus on the cross. He had painted Mary and the disciple at the bottom of the cross. And through all these paintings, you could see his anger, his pain, and you could see his longing for this God who was so elusive to him. When I talked to Nick about his art, he said, "I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, how much longer am I going to say I'm an atheist?" And I just nodded. And we stood there and we looked at his paintings together, just in awe of what he was able to create through the wrestling and the struggling to know this God. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how our own experiences with God are so different, right? Some people have an experience like Samuel, where you hear the voice of God clearly in certain moments. Other people have thunderbolt kind of experiences or whispers where you just know that God is with you. Others perceive God in silence, in prayer, in nature, in dreams, through reading scripture or through music. For some people, the voice of God is heard through the voices of others, like many of you had said this morning. Through the voice of other caring people, your faith in God is confirmed, and this elusive God becomes real. And still others are more like Nick, who long for that connection with the Most High and wrestle in the not knowing, the not seeing, and the not hearing. And I wonder if this place is perhaps the most important place where the voice of the Good Shepherd can be heard in that journey, that longing, that yearning of trying to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. In addition, I believe that all of us experience seasons of our lives when the voice of God seems quieter to our ears. I found this to be true in my own life. Now, when I was younger, I wondered what that was about. I thought, had I done something wrong? I didn't feel a connection with God like I had in the past. But after living a few years, I've noticed a pattern. That just like any relationship, this closeness kind of comes and goes in waves. And now I trust that even in those silences, that God is there. Sometimes this silence, though, doesn't seem so holy. It seems painful. And that's why we need each other. Because we as a community can provide that perspective that God keeps coming around. God is here even when we can't hear. In her book, Listening for God, Reverend Dr. Renita Weems writes this, quote, "No one is ever prepared to endure the long silence that follows a season of intimacy with God. It is the hardest thing to talk about, and it is the hardest thing in the spiritual journey to prepare for. The long silence between intimacies, the interminable pause between words, the quiet between epiphanies, and the hush after ecstasy, the listening for God," unquote. In my work, too, as a chaplain, I found that this is a common experience among people of faith. Some people would wonder, do I need to pray harder? Do I need to pray more often? How can I get this sign from God that I so desperately need? Again, I think this is why we have one another, because we need the perspective of one another who have gone through this and have heard the voice again of God after a long silence. We no longer need to worry if we need to be better Christians or if we need to do more of the right things and less of the wrong things. We don't need to wonder if God is just taking a break. Through one another, supporting each other, we can know that God is there even when we cannot hear the voice of God. With time, I have seen that these seasons of connection and disconnection are a natural part of our faith journey. And instead of fearing them, we can trust them, that God is there speaking and whispering, perhaps at a level that our ears cannot hear. Just like a dog can hear different decibels than we can, I like to think that perhaps God is speaking in ways that our ears just cannot perceive. Maybe God is giggling, wondering when we're going to hear it, wondering how much louder do I need to speak until they hear. Another part of this gospel lesson today that was compelling for me was verse 16. It says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to the fold, and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." What's most fascinating to me in this passage is that others who are not in the flock can actually hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and can follow. This reminds me that Jesus did not come for any select group of people. Jesus came even for those who reject him, those who follow another path, those who are not Christians, those who are self-proclaimed atheists. For everyone in this world, Jesus came. And just when we think that we are the only ones who can hear the voice of God, Jesus reminds us in this ever-expansive reach that God has, that God is for all people. So I mentioned earlier, our theme in the past year had been, have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? Now I want to offer this challenge for the coming week. It sounded like many of you are already listening for God, but I want to ask you to listen closely to what God might be telling us. Listen well. And you know, to listen well, we need to slow down. I found it's a little bit hard to listen well when I'm too busy. So I wonder, if we listen well, what will we hear? Does God's voice sound like James Earl Jones or Maya Angelou? Does God's voice sound like a whisper or a shout? God is most certainly speaking. What is God saying? Pray with me, please. Good Shepherd, attune our ears to hear your voice. Help us to stop, to be still, to shut off the static and noise that flows into our ear space so that we can hear your voice. Attune our minds to receive your instructions. Attune our hearts to love those who are of other flocks, to those who are alone or feel displaced. Help us to be your voice of love in this world. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.